Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin on the Capital Ideas Podcast. Investment professionals reveal how they find their next great idea, what gives them their investment edge, and a few personal stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Capital Client Group, Inc.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, the life of a private detective is one that could take you from the highest profile cases down to closer to home type cases. And while you could find yourself in the gutter, sometimes dealing with the worst that society has to offer, you could also find yourself surveilling those who are well-heeled and well-known. Liam A. Brady is the man who's been living that life for almost 48 years. He joins me now. Liam, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. It's a pleasure to be here.
And we met a long, long time ago.
We did. You're the very first person to ever interview me for TV, which was back then was RTE, obviously. And that was a 40-minute direct documentary in 1979, September.
My goodness. Time flies.
Flies.
Now, how did you get into the business in the first place? Because there's no training school for private dicks.
No, absolutely. Well, there are now. There, like, it's changed. But back then, no, except America. And in the UK, they had specialist courses that, of course, I went and did and ended up, in fact, through my career, being a lecturer in at certain stages. I qualified in electronics with the hope that I could get very much involved, which I am and do. That is electronic surveillance and, most importantly, counter surveillance. That's where families from a normal house gone through maybe domestic disputes right up to commercial concerns, semi-state bodies, yeah, embassies that would end up considering that they may be bugged.
But what was the childhood inspiration to do this? Because you always wanted to do it.
Well, I always wanted to do it because my father unfortunately died when I was 10, but he was in the past had something to do with special security services and whatever. So it was kind of in the blood, but it was just something that was there. I don't know if the James Bond movie did anything for me, but
it may well have done.
It could have. And of course, needless to say, I went on and I'm now full lifetime at it.
Now, tell me the kind of cases. I mean, obviously, electronic surveillance and the whole question of GDPR and watching people, I mean, and the law.
Yes.
How much surveillance are you allowed to do?
Well, this is a variable question as much as that. When GDPR came in, it actually killed a lot of access for anybody. And like, we're just anybody, except that I would have a state license through the PSA as a private investigator. And that would allow me, for example, put you under surveillance if I had to for a reason, but anybody else can't. That would be considered stalking, et cetera. Yeah. And that goes into a big, wide range of different laws.
So if, for example, you were following somebody and, you know, we're thinking of the movies again, you're parked in the car and you have a long lens and you're taking pictures of them. As a registered, licensed detective, you're allowed to do that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Once I have good enough reason and I may be a professional witness gathering evidence to present in court, and so on. And of course, I'd be allowed then. But there are restrictions, as there are, for example, you can't trespass. You can't, like, all the normal laws you can't break. But
so even though we see in the movies they break into houses using all sorts of paper clips and things, you know.
Yeah, it's a brilliant grey area. And so my cases, such as child abuse cases, I nearly go to any extent on those cases. They're the worst cases we deal with. And so the second worst, of course, are domestic cases. And then it goes on into anything like commercial or criminal matters, suicide, homicide, and so on.
Now, the question of child abuse, I mean, why would people not have the guards involved here rather than a private detective?
This is a difficult question in one way, because there's so many people that know about child abuse, and the guards and the HSC and other people won't really investigate or bring out any form of reaction unless there's evidence of it. And this is where I come in, I use my skills electronically or otherwise, whatever it is, I will use my skills to get evidence of it and then present it to the authorities.
The issue would always be in cases like that, that if, for example, you find evidence of a child being abused, the instinct is to intervene and stop it straight away.
Oh, absolutely.
Rather than, you know, watching, photographing, eavesdropping, recording, and then going to the garden.
No, I will, in some cases, we even pre-inform the district detective unit and maybe the child protection agency that we're actually doing this, so that they could indeed work alongside us if necessary.
Now, what about marital cases, you know, spying on the spouse?
Dreadful, absolutely. Well, again, as I said, the second worst cases that I deal with are domestic issues. When you go to investigate a domestic issue, you don't know what, first of all, you're going to find. You don't know if you're going to find that this person is involved in extramarital affairs, certainly. But is there something more sinister? For example, are they involved in groups that are discreet and hold their own, as we say, they hold their own sex sessions and all this kind of thing? Child abuse. I've gone after people that were, you would appear that they're totally innocent, and the next thing they're involved in child abuse, pornography. And of course, they visit a lot of male and female, mostly male, will visit a lot of the call girl industry, I suppose we call it.
But I mean, the question of things that are a crime, what you're gathering is evidence to kind of confront somebody on behalf of your client who will confront somebody. Because if someone is doing something illegal, I mean, the Gardaí, in theory, can arrest them.
Oh, yeah. And there are specialist departments within the Gardaí and within the state that would be called upon, or, as I said, pre-warned if there was something that we suspected.
Missing persons cases, I can see why the normal protocol from the Gardaí is they will tell you if someone's reported missing, unless there's a reason to have an alert, like a child goes missing or something like that. If an adult over the age of 18 goes missing, they will tell you that thousands go missing every year. And nearly all of them turn up. You know, they go.
Most of them turn up because they're just gone. They're gone away.
Yeah, and the Gardaí will say probably unless there's, as I say, some red alert as to why it should be investigated. You know, really atypical behaviour and so on and so forth. They will say they turn up, so it's not our problem yet. That's where maybe you come in.
Absolutely.
The family are saying, we don't believe that they've just gone AWOL. We believe they've come to harm.
Yeah. And what happens is that we would, like, if, imagine the parents are expecting their teenager or child home at 10 o'clock, don't appear, 2 o'clock in the morning, nothing's happening. Then there's the alert straight away. The Gardaí will be called and referred. But the Gardaí will put this out straight away.
Yeah.
They're not going to go through the big official thing, but every car, every policeman that's out there will be informed that there's a concerned parent with a teenager or a child walking the streets and whatever. Yeah. But, and of course they respond. They will.
Yeah.
They will.
But in the case of a mature adult, say someone in their 20s is not in touch, hasn't been.
Yeah, well, we'll go through the procedure for tracing. And obviously sometimes it's physical. Sometimes it's talking to their friends. Obviously, everybody connected to them is involved one way or the other. We'll discuss with everybody. But at the same time, we may, if, for example, they had a phone or a computer at home or whatever, we'll start immediate examination of that in the hope that we can get some clue.
How has the technology changed in all your years doing this work?
Two sides to the technology. For example, like bugging equipment, camera equipment.
Tiny.
All of that is, the cameras, I go out with really specialised systems it's very rare I ever take out a long lens stay. It's kind of nearly gone. We have video cameras that actually fit in the palm of your hand that'll get you a mile away. We have, you can imagine the latest Samsung or iPhone. Yeah. That's really as far as you have to go because I have an iPhone that zooms half a mile away and all this kind of thing. So, and a technology there allows you to transmit that straight back to your client as you go, if necessary. So if you're on a domestic case and you wanted someone identified on it, your client will get an absolute image straight away. And likewise with video. So, drones are very like specialised today, and we're the first people, really, I think, to use drones in surveillance and whatever and recovery.
This is all the positive stuff that you have much more sophisticated and much tinier equipment. I mean, you can have literally your buttonhole camera.
Absolutely. I'm way back, I used to build all and still do. I build all specialised equipment. For example, if I'm dealing with a child abuse case, there's special techniques I have, but I won't go into them, obviously. I need to get evidence that somebody is like in a. We have cases that come in that accuse the father of has the child, he takes the child for the weekend, the child comes back and it shows symptoms of some form of abuse. Well, immediately I'll come up with a plan for that. And likewise in domestics.
So this sophistication of equipment is great, but what's the downside? You were saying there are two sides to it. The positive side, the sophistication.
Yeah, I suppose the downside of technology today is that it's now allowing people to go on their phone, the simplest thing in the world, and they get access to the worst sites on the planet, the worst type of porn, and it draws people in and it's making people that otherwise may have just had a clear, normal life, and it's got them now involved in porn, and then there are, marriages are breaking up and partnerships are breaking up, and it that's what's available to them just on your phone, a lot with everything else. So technology is brilliant and I'm all for it and we work with it, but the bad side of it is that you can go on your phone right now and you'll get any information and with anybody you want.
Now, the question of systems that might be hacked, people have these video doorbells which are connected by Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Is that a vulnerability?
Serious vulnerability, yeah. And there's methods now, and you just pull up outside a house and you can scan certain, for example, you can target a house and once you can get into the Wi-Fi passwords and so on, to which there's one, the password system in the Wi-Fi system is 1.4 million.
You can
generate them. They can be taken down by using special systems with algorithm search.
And this is where AI will come in, because
AI can go
through so many combinations in a jiffy.
AI is one of the greatest things that is there, but at the same time, again, it's nearly like everything we ever get that's good.
There's always
a downside, and it's the managing the downside before it gets wheels and takes off.
I suspect, in spite of all the evil you've come across, you enjoy your work enormously.
Oh, it's a passion. To me, it's hard, very hard work. It's a passion I've had since way back being a kid and a teenager and everything. It's an absolute passion. My mind is on my job all the time. It's like a hobby as well.
Yeah, and one of the crosses you had to bear, and why you call yourself Liam A. Brady, is your namesake.
Liam Brady, the footballer. I mean, the early days when I book into a hotel or something, the dad be having a look, and he doesn't look anything like the footballer. I've actually part of my life being motor racing in the past and so on. We used to do some charity things, and the odd time,
Liam Brady.
The real Liam, yeah, we'd have this thing where I'm the real Liam Brady, and then of course a big poster came out, which Liam Brady takes the corners fastest. so that was fun.
A bit of fun. Anyway, Liam A. Brady, thank you very much for joining us. And if you want to contact Liam, you're to be found at liamabrady.ie.
Yes, liamabrady.ie.
Thank you very much for coming in.
An absolute pleasure, Pat, and thank you.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin on the Capital Ideas Podcast. Investment professionals reveal how they find their next great idea, what gives them their investment edge, and a few personal stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Capital Client Group, Inc.